Bem. Lord, we thank you that you love us, that you love us enough to pay for our sins at the enormous cost of giving up your Son. And Father, as we focus on your commandments to us of to go and make disciples, I pray that you open up our hearts, that you fill it with your love, that we may show the world how much you love them. As we open up your word, open up our minds, let us be revealed into your truths. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. We've been talking for the last few weeks about our one job, the importance of going and make disciples. I've heard over the last few weeks that there are some bruised toes and feet have been stepped on, and that's okay. That's not a bad thing that we get convicted. We need to be focused on what's most important. And this week and next week, we're really going to be focusing on how do we put some more tools in our toolbox to go make disciples, and what does that look like? And this morning, Jody and I are going to be talking about making relationships. And what is a relationship? We often think in terms of romantic relationships or family relationships, but we have relationships with all kind of people, all kind of different stages of relationships. When I go in the grocery store, the lady who checks me out knows my name. I have a relationship with her, even though it's only a couple of minutes every time I go in there, but those are opportunities, and we need to be making sure we seize those opportunities and build better relationships. And so that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 13. Because as we get into this, I want to show you something that if we're not careful, we often don't apply this section of Scripture like we should. 1 Corinthians 13 is often called what? The love chapter. We think about romantic relationships when we read this. But look at what this says, because really, it's way more than a romantic relationship. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. If I could speak all the languages of the earth and angels, but do not love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains, but I did not love others, I would be doing nothing. If I gave everything I had to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast all about it. But if I have not loved others, I would have gained nothing. This is not talking about a romantic relationship. This is talking about everybody we encounter. So how do we love others the way God wants us to love?
Well, it really is a heart issue. It's a heart issue. First, you have to love God, because God is the source of all the love that we have for everybody else. If we're not plugged into His love, it's really hard to love others the way He loves them. Any other kind of love is manufactured and artificial. So we start with God's love. God is love. God loves me, and God loves everyone, and through me, God can love everyone. Thank you. My voice would not hold up. That any better? Okay, good. So did you hear what I said before? Good. I hate to repeat myself, and I really hate to repeat myself, but nonetheless, so we start with God. Then the other part is we have to dismiss all of our prejudices and all of our pride. one of the mistakes I've made is to think that I have something that this person's going to want to hear. And most of the time, if it goes beyond just the pleasantries of the day, people aren't really that interested in what I have to say. And so what I have to do is, like Chad's talking about, is I have to go through a relationship. And relationship can be as brief as an encounter at the grocery store, at the checkout, an encounter on the aisle of a grocery store, an encounter at QT, the coffee shop, an encounter at the water fountain at work, although water fountains, I think, are not around so much anymore. A relationship can be as brief as sitting across the table from a prisoner in the prison and chatting with them for just a minute. Relationships begin with an introduction and openness and welcoming them. And then there's some mechanical things we can do to foster that.
I think one of the misconceptions that we may need to make sure we get our grasp on is when we think about making disciples, we think about picking the red ripe tomato that's ready to eat. We think about leading somebody to Christ. That's not all there is into making disciples, because all that goes into getting that red ripe tomato to the place where it's ready to pick involves us sowing seeds into people's life that will move them down the path of getting them closer to where they were accepting Christ. I told last week about my grandfather and what an incredible role he played in my life. My grandfather didn't lead me to Christ. He's not the one that prayed the prayer with me, but he is the one that showed me Christ. And if you don't remember anything else I ever say or have ever said, remember this, okay? Making disciples is more about showing people Christ than telling them about the Word. Did you hear that? It's more about showing people Christ than telling them about the Word. Because if I go up to Jody, as an atheist, Jody, and say, I want you to read this Bible verse with me, and I'm going to tell you you're going to hell. You know what Jody cares about what I got to say? Zero. Because I haven't made a relationship.
The making of a relationship is really easy. All of you've done it, right? All of you've done it. Within the family, it's difficult enough, but when you're talking about friends and neighbors, you can get into some difficult territory. And so there's the old trite saying that says, they don't care what you know until they know that you care. And it's sounds kind of silly, but it's really true. Conversations that I've had over the decades often have started with something as stupid as, man, it sure is hot here. Well, yeah, it's hot here all the time. Really? Is it hot here all the time? And the next thing you know, you're in a little conversation. And every time you exchange words, you're building a little bit of a relationship. You want to stay away from his example of, I've got this Bible here and you've got to read it. You've got to read it. People will not respond to that kind of thing. The goal is to be in a relationship where you can show them Christ and ultimately share the good news with them in a relational way. Relationship evangelism is what Trisha and I have done for 30 years, and it works. Very rarely do we talk to a stranger about the gospel. We do it sometimes, but it's very rare. Usually there's a relationship. Maybe the relationship was all of 2 minutes old. Maybe it's 2 years old, but you have to start with letting the people know that you care about them.
The person who said that, who coined that phrase as best we can tell, is Dale Carnegie. Do you remember the book, How to Win Friends and Influence People? It was really big in the 80s. And I went back to that book this week because there are some points in that are so incredibly important to making relationships, which is how you make disciples. I want to share some of them with you. this morning. Number one, be genuinely interested in other people. How many introverts are there in here? It's a funny question to ask because the introverts are the ones that don't want to raise their hands, right? Okay, I am an introvert, okay? Let me tell y'all something. Speaking one introvert to another, you got to get over it, okay? Because we have the most important message. And I'm going to tell you, he has done relationship evangelism, like he said, for 30 years. And the one message that his voice ringing in my head that I will never be able to get out is every single one of us is an evangelist, okay? And your mission field sometimes, for me, it might be Kennedale, Texas. It might be Century Drive, the street I live on. That's my mission field. Some of y'all, my parents grew up with the same neighbors for 40 years, okay? Everybody knew everybody. It's not so much that way anymore because people move and come and go. But how many of us don't even know the name of the person who lives next door to you? Don't know their name. God's put you next door to somebody and you don't know their name? Can you imagine getting to heaven, and I don't think this is going to happen, but just entertain me for a minute with this thought, because it motivates me. If you're about to walk through the pearly gates to heaven, and your neighbor is standing outside the gate, and they're not going in because you didn't tell them about Jesus, and they look at you and say, "Why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me?" What about the person that you've worked with year after year next to you, the relationship you have, and you see them standing next to the pearly gate and they can't go in because they don't know Jesus, and they say, "Why didn't you tell me?" I can't imagine anything more heartbreaking.
So what do you do with that? What if you say, "Well, I want to have a relationship with somebody that leads to that conversation." We talked last week about having faith conversations through the week. And how do you do those kind of things? Well, it starts with, first, prayer. That's got to be the anchor. You've got to pray like I do every morning, and Tricia, "Lord, today as we move about, let us encounter somebody who needs to know about you. And then if I encounter somebody, let me have the courage and the boldness to enter their life." That's a pretty hard thing to do, isn't it? How many of you love to meet strangers? Few hands.
Brian Riley.
Of course. there are Diane, some others who enjoy meeting strangers. There are some that are scared to death to have a conversation with a stranger. Because one, you don't know who they are. You don't know where they come from. But God does. So how do you start a conversation with a stranger? Or somebody that you casually know because you encounter them at where you shop or at work? How do you start that conversation? Does anybody know?
It starts with this point right here. Take an interest in them. You know what everybody's favorite subject is? Regardless of what they say, you know what everybody's favorite subject is? Me. That's my favorite subject.
So what do? You say, "You know, Bill, I've been by your office, and Bill, I see you've got a Denver Broncos poster in your office."
Boo.
I love Bill.
Brian loves Bill. But, you know, you may not be an NFL fan, and I'm talking primarily to the guys right now. A lady might have something different. I saw a sticker on your car. I encounter somebody in the grocery store or wherever I go, and I say, "Hey, is that your car out there?" "Yeah." "Well, I saw that bumper sticker. Tell me about that." What have you done?
Or I love your shoes.
I'm not going to try to be, you know, gender specific too much, but that's right. And what you've done is you said, tell me about you. And everybody, unless they're super, super shy, will be able to tell you a little bit about themselves. And it's not so important what they say. The importance is that you show an interest. Now, some other things, I don't know what else
number,
up there.
Number two, smile. Oh my goodness.
Talk about blocking and tackling the basics. Chad, how are you doing today, Chad? Well, what you're saying to them is, okay, you're asking me how I'm doing, but what you really want is me to ask you how you're doing. Because you're sad, you're not smiling, you're tense. So, man, that is super important. How many of you have a doctor who doesn't smile? Anybody? You know, you change doctors right away, don't you? You'll drop that doctor like a hot potato. Smiling is God-given thing that says, I'm not threatened by you and I'm not a threat to you.
Number three, remember names. Who's good at this? I'm going to tell you something and this is the easiest thing in the world. You know how my relationship started with the cashier? They all have name tags on, and I can read. So instead of saying, how's your day? I say, Missy, how you doing? Do you know what that does? It enters me into her world just because I called her by name.
So that's perfect. When you're talking to a stranger and you say, you know, I saw that bumper sticker on your car. I want to know about that. Would you tell me about that? What's your name? And they say, Sue, Bill, Jim. You say, wow, Jim, please, would you mind taking a minute and tell me about that bumper sticker? Or tell me about what's going on with the Denver Broncos. Who are you rooting for, Jim, in the football game? Jim, tell me about it. Jim this, Jim that. That'll help you remember, but every time, I don't know about you, every time somebody calls my name, there's a little uptick in my mood about that whole thing. Isn't that true? All right.
Because they've entered your favorite subject.
Yep.
Number four, be a good listener. Be a good listener. So when they start talking about the Denver Broncos, and I don't care about the Denver Broncos, I care nothing. You hear me, Brian? Nothing about the Denver Broncos.
I pray for your soul every day.
But if I want to enter Brian's world, listen. Listen to it. And it's going to give me opportunities to enter his world further when I take an interest. And it's number five. Talk in terms of the other person's interest. Because you know what we love to do? Because my favorite subject is me. And I want Jody to tell me about his bumper sticker so that I can tell him about my bumper sticker, right?
That's exactly right. It's hard to remember that the conversation's really not about you. Now, someday, later on in the relationship, it might be. But at the moment, you're maybe talking to a neighbor out at the mailbox or bringing your trash cans up from the curb. You don't have 10, 15 minutes, maybe. So what you want to do is two things. First, let them know that you're interested by actively listening, and being a good listener is important. You know, somebody said this, and I can't remember who it was, that having a conversation is a lot more than just waiting for your turn to talk. You ever heard that?
Oh, my.
It's really important. And I'm guilty of this because I'm thinking, okay, how am I going to respond? What do I want to say next? Blah, blah, blah. Instead of looking them in the eye and listening and even saying, well, tell me how that works. I don't understand what you just said. Tell me how that works. How does somebody else get involved in that? Tell me something. So active listening is asking questions, giving feedback, eye contact, smiling, and then not being so concerned, as he said, about telling them about you until they ask the question and enter your world. You really have to be patient. Husbands, practice. Practice on your wives, actively listening, and the same techniques if you if you develop that habit, are good for strangers too.
So one of the things that you and Trisha have done in your ministry, because y'all go into areas where you know people are hurting, and the needs are pretty obvious when they walk up to somebody whose house has been completely destroyed and their world is turned upside down. But in terms of people I encounter on a daily basis, if you want to make disciples and you want to give them some Jesus for the day, the most effective way to do it is find where their need is. Everybody has a need, whatever that need is, and everybody's looking for a way to meet that need. You follow me? Everybody has a need. They're looking for a way to meet that need. And for us who have Christ, when our needs come up, we go to Christ to meet them, whatever they are. How do we get to people's needs just on an ongoing daily basis?
Well, if we talk about relationships you might build with a neighbor or someone at work, somebody you see, you know, with some frequency, those are the ones that really you have an opportunity to develop a deeper relationship than just the 2 minutes at the checkout counter, although that can happen too over time. And so once you let them know that I am interested in you, I want to know about your bumper sticker, where'd you get those shoes, who's your favorite football team, I'm interested in those things. And as you let them know you're interested in them, when they have a difficulty, they are much more open about sharing that with you. You may go pick up your trash cans at the end of the street next week, end of your driveway, and you meet your neighbor and you say, you know, I remember last week you were telling me about your dog was sick. How's your dog doing? Maybe the dog died. Maybe the dog got well. Maybe the person's got a sickness in his family. Suddenly they feel like they can tell you something, and you're not threatening to them. And if during these conversations, as you're developing the relationship, you say little things like, man, thanks for sharing that. I'm going to pray about that. I'm going to pray to the Lord about that. Just something simple. You don't have to explain prayer. Just say, I'm going to think about that. I'm going to pray to the Lord about your situation. May not mean a thing to them at that point, but what you've said is, I'm open to hearing your story. I'm not going to put you down. I'm not going to dismiss you. I'm open to hearing your story. And that's what everybody wants.
It's taking an interest. It's taking an interest. That's how we make disciples, through relationships. Because let's be honest, okay? If the guys in the white shirt who ride the bike, I don't even know if they ride bicycles anymore, and ties show up at your door and they knock on your door, they have a message that they believe in, okay? Do you want to hear it? You don't want to hear it. Unless you want to argue with them, okay? But generally, all you want to do is get them off your front porch. Why? Because they are interested in their message, okay? And if we are going to make disciples, we have to go into people's world, not try to bring them into ours. And so it starts with building a relationship that's going to open the door for them to be honest about their hurts. Because most people are going to come to Christ when they find that He's going to meet their needs. And that opens up their eyes to what Christ can do. And so we have to go into their world and not try so hard to bring them into ours. Because really, all you want to do is get them people off your front porch, right? We have to bring them into, we have to go into their world. Listen to Romans 12:10. Romans 12:10. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. If we can do that, we can make disciples.
You know, one of the biggest problems these days are people who do not feel honored. You know, can you understand what I'm saying there? People are dismissed. People are put down. People are ostracized for this thing or another. And when you have a neighbor or a friend or somebody you're trying to get to know, and you can make them feel seriously and sincerely, not an act, you can make them feel that you really care about them. When they have troubles, they'll come to you to say, you know, hey, Ed, I've got an issue. And you said the other day that you're somebody who prays. Could you pray about this? Well, of course. The next thing you know, you're sitting down with them and having a conversation that you never thought you would ever have. Maybe they have things going on that are so dark they don't want to bring them to the light. And they're not going to tell their best friend about it. They're not going to tell their family member about it. They're going to tell somebody who's just sort of a casual friend who they can trust, and it won't go anywhere else. The trust factor is important, too. If you have a neighbor, friend, relationship who confides something in you, and then you turn around and tell everybody else about it, you have no chance of helping that person come to Christ. So trust is another factor that comes through all the things that Chad's talked about: sincere, smile, eye contact, being interested in their lives, being in their world. You also have to let them know that you can trust me. I'm not going to tell what's going on in your life to anybody else.
Here's what happens, and I'll just tell you in my experience, and I'll use my cashier at the grocery store, okay? I have been walking toward the register, and she not be at a register, but go get on one so she can check me out. I can tell you she has two kids that live in Oklahoma, and her mother lives here and is sick. She knows nothing about me. She doesn't know I'm married. She doesn't know I'm a pastor. She doesn't know anything about me. Because for the 30 seconds, and my conversations with her have never been longer than it takes her to check me out. Okay? But my conversations, those 3 minutes, are always about her. And she wants to see, she wants to check me out. Because when you take an interest in other people, they're going to open up. And the reason I know her mother's sick is because I asked her one day, I said, you know, I've been coming in here for the longest of time, and you're really important to me. Is there anything I can pray about for you? That's a bold statement, and sometimes we're scared to say that, to be honest. But when you build a relationship, you can say that, and you'll see people light up over the smallest of things of saying, can I pray for you? We're going to talk more about being a witness next week, but the best witness we can be is building a relationship with those people that God has put in our path. And sometimes it takes us being bold enough to go next door and say, you know what? I'm standing here to apologize, first of all, because I don't know how long you've lived here and I've never come over here and I don't even know your name. But we're neighbors, good gosh. I just want to know your name. You're right here. And as close as some of these neighborhoods, oh, you don't even have to walk very far to get to their front porch. God has put people in your path to make disciples. Your job, most of the time, I'm going to tell you right now, your job most of the time is not picking the ripe tomato. It's not. Most of the time it's not. But all that takes place in the getting to the place where the tomato is ready to be picked, even if somebody else picks it, is your job. Making disciples and showing people Christ.
So there's a challenge for you, and some of you have really... are really deciding, I want to do this. I want to build some relationships that are, you know, honestly and admittedly, perhaps are not lifelong. perhaps not terribly, terribly deep. But I want to start somewhere. So your challenge this week is to prayerfully consider and review your life and say, where do I move during my week where I encounter people where I can say to them, you know, I come here all the time, and I see you, and you're always smiling when you're checking people out. Now, when you're at Sam's and the line is a million miles long and they're hurrying, that's not the time to do this. But you find somebody who you've got 2 or 3 minutes. Maybe it's in a retail situation. Maybe it's at a school. Maybe it's at work. And you just say, you know, I've watched how you do, and I just want to say I appreciate it. Or we've lived next door. We're out there at the trash cans picking them up. We've lived next door for 10 years, and I still can't remember your name. Would you help me remember your name? So this week, let God put somebody on your heart. Let God give you some opportunity where you can boldly go where most Christians have never gone before. I heard that somewhere before. Yeah. Sounds very similar to something else I heard. But let God lead you to somebody, and when you see that person, when God puts that on your heart, have the boldness to say, you know, I love the way you smile when you do your work. Thank you for working today. You know, so many people don't want to work today. Thank you for working today. Just that first little thing gets the conversation started. So would you be bold this week and pray for that? And then when God gives you that opportunity, just start somewhere.
That's how you make disciples. That's what we need to be about. Because I'm going to be honest with you, we're running out of time. We are closer to the second coming of Christ than we have ever been. And I don't want to see anybody that we encounter, that I encounter, not be in heaven because I was too scared to say, let me tell you about my Jesus. I'm going to ask you to stand with me. We're going to close in prayer, and I'm going to say the blessing for the soup. Make sure you go next door. There's plenty of soup over there. Take a minute and eat. This is nothing more than just a time for us to get together and build relationships.
And before we go, as Chad prepares to pray, is when you get there, you'll find there are some larger bowls, and then there's some smaller bowls. And Tricia, who's kind of set this whole thing up in motion, said, well, some people may want to try different soups. And so feel free to take 2, 3, 4, 5 of the smaller bowls if you want to kind of try different ones. Just knock yourselves out. There's no program. We just want to fellowship together. Everybody, please do.
This isn't a no-judgment zone. So if you, Brian, if you have 8 bowls, different bowls, we're not going to judge you.
What about a whole crock pot? Can I have that?
If you need one, go for it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for loving us enough to want us to be your disciples. And Father, I pray that we love the people we encounter in this life enough to tell them how awesome it is to be a disciple of Christ. Father, as we gather together as a family and have a time of fellowship, Father, we thank you for the food that's been provided. Let this be a pleasing time to you, and take this food to our bodies and use us to glorify you. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.